Good to be here. Good to have the songs. What a blessing. So, we're glad that you have come to hear the Word of God. Let's open our Bibles tonight, if you will, to the book of Genesis. Ought to be easy to find. And after all that food you ate, it still is settling, I'm sure. The blood's down there, so it's easy to not be able to find something real heavy in the Bible. So Genesis chapter number 5 is where we're going to be at. Call your attention. We have some out on the foyer there, some books and different things. I don't know if I was here the last time with my wife's book. It's back there. Thank God for the way the Lord has used that book. It's our second printing, and we're just about ready to have to order another set of books, but many people have let me know that they're so glad for it. It'd be a great blessing to you. Shows you her heart for the Lord, and it'll challenge your heart for the Lord. So I hope that you will think about that book. There's other things back there. We won't take time to go into all of it, rest of it tonight, but I'll be back after the service is over and be happy to answer any questions you might have about things there on the table. All right. It's a wonderful thing to see all the new things around here. Boy, you got new carpet out there. You got a new display sign. This is new. New carpet, new pews. The only thing old is what you have in the pulpit. Now, I'm not talking about the pastor. I'm talking about me, okay? The pastor's, he's a young man. But anyway, it's good to see all the blessings of the Lord. All right, Genesis chapter number 5 in your Bible, please. Genesis 5, and we'll read Genesis 5, starting with verse number 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Speak to our hearts tonight, we pray, dear God. We need you to work. We need you to be here. Lord, please be here. We ask you to save that lost soul. Lord, we pray you'd stir the heart of every Christian. And Lord, I pray that all of us would see the desperate need that we have in our lives tonight. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. We're preaching on this theme of in times like these. Times like these, Sunday school, we said in times like these, we need a great desire to be used of God. We need a greater desire to be used of God. In the morning, we said that, you know, in times like these, we need to know who Jesus is and what he wants to do in our life. All right, then tonight I want us to see that in times like these, we have a great need of walking with God. Oh, we need to walk with God in times like these. You know, isn't it wonderful that God would want to walk with us? You know, it's not just that we can walk with God, but God wants to walk with us. God wants to walk with you. He wants to walk with you. He has wonderful plans. He's got a wonderful future in plan. For you. He wants to walk with you and take you into his good life and his blessings. And so he wants to walk with us. Are you walking with God? You know, you can walk with the world. You can walk with yourself. You can walk, you know, with the things of you can walk with Satan. You can walk with all different kinds of walks you can have. Many people have different kinds of walks. But all the walk that we need tonight is a walk with God. That's what churches need. Our churches, that's what our homes need. We need some dads walking with God. That's what our churches need. We need some people walking with God. That's what our country needs so desperately. We need some people who will walk with God. Are you walking with God? I want you to see that basically there are a number of relationships to walking with God you can have in your life. First of all, you can have the relationship of needing to start a walk with God. You know, a lot of people have that relationship. That's a relationship that a lot of people need. You know, there was a time I wasn't walking with God. I was walking with myself. I was walking with the world. I wanted to do what the world wanted. You know, what the world said was popular. I was walking with the world. I wanted to be like it and go. But I wasn't walking with God at all. I had no walk with God. You see, why? Because I was dead to God. You see, when you come into the world, you're not alive unto God. And to walk with God, you've got to become alive. I mean, dead things can't walk. Amen. I worked at a funeral home when I was going to seminary, and I did it because a fellow wanted to keep the job, and he had something come up, and he had to go home, and so he asked me, will you take the job? I said, okay, but hurry back, because I really don't like this guy. I'm just doing you a favor, you know? And so he never did come back, you know? And so I just quit the job and did something else. But anyway, I learned some things working at that funeral home, and I used to have to water the flowers at night, you know, and there was nobody else around except me and the person in the casket, you know, and so I'd bring in the water in this little bucket like thing, and I'd pour the water in the flower, but I'd have one eye where I was pouring the water, one eye on the guy in the casket, you know. I just didn't trust him. I never had anybody ever sit up and say, you know what? I am hungry. Could you go down to McDonald's, give me a Big Mac and a French fry? I'm starving. Never had that happen one time, you know? I'm glad it didn't, you know? I'd made an exit where there wasn't an exit, brother. I've been out of there, see? But I'll tell you something. Why? Because, you know, they're not alive. And to walk with God, you have to be alive. You see, the Bible tells us that when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, all of us were born from that time. They're born in the world. We're all offspring of Adam and Eve. That we are dead in trespass and sin. Ephesians 2:1. We're dead. Dead people can't walk. You know, dead people need, in order to walk, to have life, see? And so in order to walk with God, you need to have life. And the only way you get that life is not by being baptized, joining a church, or turning over a new leaf, or coming to church. The only way you get that life is to come to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, he's the one who can give you life and impart life. And I thank God, you know. Have you had a time, a place where you come to him? I was talking to a man in the church a number of years ago, and he was coming, and I wanted to talk to him. I hadn't talked to him yet, and so I walked up to him one time after the service was over, and I said, hey, it's been good to have you in the service. And I said, I'm really happy you're here. And I said, are you saved? He said, yes. He said, I am. And I said, well, tell me about it. I said, when did you get saved? He said, oh, I've been coming to this church ever since I was that high, you know. I said, well, that's wonderful, but when did you get saved? He said, I helped build this church. I said, that's great, but when did you come to Jesus and get saved? You know, he could never tell me. See, you know, that man's not walking with God. See, to walk with God, you have to have time you start it. See, you're not born walking with God. There has to be a time and a place where you decide, I'm going to start a walk with God. And you come to Jesus and you receive him, your Savior. You acknowledge you're a dead sinner. You acknowledge that you can't save yourself. And you come to Jesus Christ and receive him by faith as your personal Lord and Savior. So you need to start a walk with God. Now let's say you say, I don't want anything to do with that, preacher. I don't want to start a walk with God. What will be the results? First of all, the first result is you will never, ever be satisfied in life. Never ever be satisfied in life. Things won't satisfy. I mean, houses, pleasures won't satisfy, ever satisfy. Why? Because you were created to walk with God, say. You were created to walk with God. And you'll never be satisfied. You know, you could go down to the filling station and say, you know, I'm tired of paying the price of fuel. I'm going to just fill up my car with water, you know. Now, do you think you get very far? You know, that engine wasn't built to run on water, say. You're not going to get very far. You're not going to satisfy that engine. That engine won't be satisfied when you put gasoline into it, you know. I tell you what. You're not going to be satisfied until you're walking with God. See, you'll never have real satisfaction in your life. Because you're not fulfilling the purpose of your creation to walk with God. God wants someone to walk with. He couldn't walk with the cows. He couldn't walk with the vegetation. He wanted someone to, and made you and me. And Adam and Eve kind of messed things up. And we got in a condition because of their sin where we aren't going to be able to walk with God until we come alive unto God. We get out of the spiritual death we're in and we become alive unto the things of God by Christ working in our life, by opening our heart and receiving and saving. So you'll never be satisfied. You know, you can take a fish and you can lay them on the land and you think that fish will be satisfied out of that water, you know, and not have to be in the midst of all that water, you know. You think a fish will be satisfied? No, it won't be satisfied. Why? Because it was made to be in the water, say. And you're never going to be satisfied until you walk with God. So that's the first thing that will happen when you don't start to walk with God, all right? Number two, the second thing, you'll not be prepared for the coming of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus is going to come again. In fact, Enoch is a great picture in the Old Testament. Way back in the Old Testament, in the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis, you have a prophecy of the very next event on God's calendar events, say. I tell you what, this book's an amazing book. It's so tied together. It's so full of great gems and so forth. And here back in Genesis 5, we find that Enoch was walking along one day. He's walking with God. And God said, hey, Enoch, you're closer to my home than going back to your home. Come on home with me, say. And the law of gravitation was set free. And Enoch went right up to be with the Lord. Say, he walked with God. And God one day just took him. And that's a picture of the rapture. You know, that can happen today. It can happen tonight. Jesus Christ is going to come. And, you know, I may be walking down the aisle here and I lift up my foot and Jesus come. And the next thing that foot's going to hit is streets of gold. Say, now you could say amen if you're happy about that. I don't know, maybe you're not too happy about it, but I am. And I'm pretty excited about that. But anyway, you see, the rapture could happen any moment. And you know what's going to happen after the rapture is there's going to be a great time of judgment that's going to come upon this earth. In the book of Revelation, or Jude, the book of Jude, the Bible says in verse 14, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied these things, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 saints to execute judgment. So what comes after when the Lord comes? Judgment is going to come. The Bible tells us in verse number 25 of Genesis 5 that Enoch had a son by the name of Methuselah. Now, the word Methuselah means when he is dead, it shall come. You see, back in those days, many of the names had a real significant meaning. I never liked my name Gary too well. I never did. I would like to have been named, Dwight or I'd like to have been named Ron or something like that, or, you know, but I never did. But one day I fell in love with my name. You know why? I found out what it meant. You know what Gary means? It means loyal one. And boy, ever since then, I like my name because I want to be loyal. I want to be loyal to the Bible. I want to be loyal to my Savior. I want to be loyal to my wife. I want to be loyal to my family. You know, I want to be loyal. Say, well, the name Methuselah means when he's dead, it shall come. What will come? The coming of the Lord is going to come and judgment will follow it. When he is dead, it shall come. The judgment of the great flood was going to come upon the earth because man's heart was just evil continually. Man, isn't that true today? I mean, everywhere you look, I mean, it's just evil thoughts and wickedness on the internet, on the phones, everywhere you look, a lot of wickedness all over the place, you know. And so the judgment of the flood came upon Noah and his people of his time because of their great wicked imaginations and evil thoughts. Well, to show you the accuracy of the Bible says that Methuselah, when he was 187 years, he begat Lamech. That's in verse 25. And then if you look down verse 28, the Bible says, and Lamech, who was the son of Methuselah, he begat a son, and he was 182 years. So if you add those together, you get 369 years, according to the old math. You know, I don't know what you do in the new math, but that adds up to be 369 years. And the Bible tells us over in verse number 6 of chapter 7, the Bible says, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of the earth was upon the earth. And so if you add 369, 600, that's 969 years. And that's how old Methuselah was when he died. And right after that, the judgment came. Isn't God's word accurate? You can depend on this, folks. You better believe the Bible, see? I mean, it's accurate and detailed. That's why I love it. It is just, it's not generalities. It's not, things that could be not happening and are said to be happening and they don't happen. No, the Bible is very accurate. Now, listen, if you're here and you've never started a walk with God, listen to this. You better thank God tonight that you can look into the face of someone who has started to walk God. In other words, they've been saved. You better thank God you can do that. If you're here and you're not a saved a boy or girl, you better thank God you can look in your mom and dad's face and see them. They're saved. You know, they're saved. You better thank, you're a husband here. And you know what? You've never been saved. You better thank God you can look in the wife of in the face of your wife who is saved. You better thank God. Why? Because the moment the person when Jesus comes, that very moment, they're going to be taken out of this world, and it's going to be judgment for you. It's going to be judgment for you, my friend. Bible says that if you are not a person who started to walk with God, you will be left behind to go through the judgment of the great tribulation, the judgment of God. Oh, you say, well, preacher, then I'll know that the Bible's true. I'll get saved then. You know, I got a friend of mine. He's got a son-in-law. His name is Jack. He's a very intellectual guy, smart guy. He's really not that smart because he doesn't believe the Bible too much, he claims to be an atheist, And so this friend of mine is praying for him to get saved. You know, he's just really praying. I'm praying for him. I'm helping him. I'm praying for Jack to get saved too. And so one time he's talking to Jack about getting saved. Oh, he says, if Jesus comes, like the Bible says, and my wife's taken home to be the Lord, his wife is saved. His wife is born again. Praise God. And by the way, her name is Elaine. I like that, But anyway, maybe that's why I'm praying for him, because I really have a special interest in that situation. But anyway, he said, then I'll know the Bible's true. If Jesus comes and my wife's, I'll know that, and I'll get saved then. And you know what? No, he won't. He'll believe the lie of the Antichrist to his soul's damnation. Listen, if you're here tonight and you've never started a walk with God, you better hurry up and get it started. Because, folks, Jesus is coming. And if you're not saved, mom, you're not saved, dad, you're not saved, teenager, you'll be left behind and there'll be no hope. You'll go into the judgment of the great tribulation period and you'll bow down, take the mark of the Antichrist to stay alive, and have a job. And, the whole world's going that way. I mean, we're going to a cashless society and people are going to take a mark and have it put in their a forehead or in their arm, an electronical device, we're heading, we're very close. Are you ready? Do you know you'll be caught up to be with the Lord if you were to come tonight? The only people who can be caught up are those who started a walk with God. There was a day, there was a time, there was a place where they said, I'm a sinner lost and I'm on my way to hell and I need Jesus Christ to save my soul. And Lord Jesus, come to my heart and save me. So there's the relationship being someone who needs to start a walk with God. If that's you, my friend, I pray you'll start it tonight. And you can. You can. Now, we'll give you the invitation. You just come. We'll show you how you can start that walk with God. Right from the Bible. All right? Secondly, there's another relationship you can have to this matter of walking with God. And that is the relationship of being someone who can walk with God. You are alive. You have come to Jesus Christ. You have been saved. You can walk with God, but you don't. That's the problem with so much of our Christianity in America. We got people who are saved, but they're not walking with God. They're not walking with God. See, I want you to see tonight, why is it that people who can walk with God, they've been saved, they've started a life of walking with God because they've trusted Christ as Savior, they can do it. Why is it there's so many people who are not walking with God? I'll tell you, there are a number of reasons. Let's look at why it isn't true that they're not walking with God. It's not true that they can't. They can't. You see, when you get saved, you get all the grace you need to walk with God. The Bible says Noah walked with God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, I need to walk with God. The only way you're going to walk with God is to have the grace to walk with God. See? And God, when He saves you, He gives you all the grace to walk with God. You say, preacher, I can't walk with God like pastor. I mean, pastor, you know, he's a super guy, and he's super spiritual, and I can't walk with God like my wife does. You know, I'm a man, and you know, I just can't do that like my wife does. Yes, you can, my friend. Why? Because you got just as much of the grace of God that pastor got when he started to walk with God, and you got just as much of the grace of God when you started to walk with God that your wife got. See, God doesn't say, well, I'm going to give you a little more grace. You know, I'm going to give you a little bit less grace. God gives every person that starts to walk with God, they get all the grace of God they need to walk with God. You see, God gives you a Bible. That's His grace. He gives you a Bible to walk with God. He gives you a local church like this one, where you can walk with God. He gives you the Holy Spirit inside of you. He gives you a brand new nature. And that's the grace of God. See, God gives you those things the moment you start to walk with God. So it's not that people are not walking with God because they don't have the grace to walk with God. They got all the grace they need to walk with God. All right? Then why is it that people who can walk with God aren't walking with God? Number reasons. Number one, they're filled with themselves. They're selfish, they're self-centered, and you know what? You will never walk with God until you come to the end of yourself. I thank God my wife came to the end of herself when she's 19 years old. And she said, you know, I'm just through living myself. I'm tired of it. I don't want to do it anymore. And you know what? To walk with God, that's exactly, you got to die every day to yourself. You know, George Mueller had a time in his life when he died to himself. You know, his preferences, his plans. He died to himself. And then he died to the world and all of its attractions and so forth. And then he died to friends and what friends would think and say. He died. And folks, to walk with God, you have come to the place where you're just wanting to turn from living for yourself. And you'll never walk with God until that takes place. See, you can have the grace to do it, but people have the grace who have been saved. They've come to Jesus Christ. They have God's life and God's given grace, but they're not walking with God. Why? They're filled with themselves. They're living for themselves. Self's on the throne of their life. And you're never going to walk with God, my friend, until you say, I'm through with living myself. Secondly, people are able to walk with God, but they're not walking with God. Secondly, because they have something, a wall between them and the Lord. They have a wall. You know, I could get outside here and walk down the outside of this building where that wall is. And could we have any communication? Could we have any fellowship at all? No. Why? There's a wall between me and you. And so we couldn't really communicate. See, the wall that keeps people from walking with God who could walk with God is the wall of sin. You know, sin gets your life. And sin separates you from walking with God. See? And maybe the wall is wrong relationship with others. You can't walk with God when you're not right with your wife. You can't walk with God when you're not right with your husband. You can't walk with God when you're not right with people. You know, your parents, you got walls between you and the Lord, say. And so a lot of Christians are not walking with God. They could, they have the ability, they have the grace, but there's walls. Maybe the wall of some sin that you've allowed to get in your life and you're covered over and you're ignoring it. You're not dealing with it. Maybe the wall of a wrong relationship with a husband, a wife, or children, mom and dad. Oh, I tell you something. Some of you are going to walk with God. You know what you need to do? Go home and get on the phone, call somebody up. And say, you know what, I'm sorry. You know, maybe you need some of this building you need to go to after the service is over. Say, I'm sorry. Let's bury the axe. Let's get back to fellowship. You see, to walk with God, you got to keep the walls out. You got to keep the walls out. Are there some walls? Oh, many of God's people tonight in our churches, our homes, in our nation is filled with Christians who could walk with God, but they're not doing it. Why? Because of walls. And then thirdly, people aren't walking with God who could walk with God because they don't do it daily. Walking with God is not just something you do on Sunday. It's daily. Daily walk with God. See, you know, the devil doesn't want you to start a walk with God. He really doesn't. That's what he will try to keep you from doing. But let's say you say, oh, no, I'm going to start a walk with God. And many of you here tonight have had that time when you start a walk with God. But what the devil wants now is for you not to daily walk with him. See, he wants you to think, well, Sunday's enough. You know, okay, I'll walk with God Sunday morning. I'll walk with God even. Well, some people don't even walk with God Sunday night. I mean, you know, they're sitting home watching TV or something. Or, I don't know. Or I'll walk with God on Wednesday. I'll go to prayer meeting. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that's my day. I'm going to walk with myself and walk with the world. You see, dear friend, if you're going to walk with God, it's got to be daily. It's got to be a daily walk. You see, walking with God starts first thing in the morning. You get up in the morning, first thing in the morning. What do? First thing in the morning, you go to Fox News. You know, I tell you what, I asked my son one time, I said to my son, I said, how are you doing? He said, I'm doing great. He said, you know why I'm doing great? I'm not watching any news. I said, well, that's probably true. You know, I don't watch much news because, man, it's so negative. It's just bad. And so, you know, first thing you do in the morning, you know, oh, maybe you could make a cup of coffee. Well, you know, you could do that, you know. But you get that coffee and you sit down with your Bible and you get in the Word of God. I remember going to a Bible college. I was just a young greenhorn Christian. I didn't know much. You know, I was really ignorant. I went to Bible college and I had a roommate get up every morning and he'd go down to somewhere. I didn't know where he went. Well, you normally got up at 7 o'clock, but he'd get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Finally, I got the courage. I was walking with God. I was very shy. You know, when you're not walking with God, you're just really shy and you don't have much courage and you're kind of scared of your shadow, your own shadow. And that's the way I was. And so I finally got the courage to ask him about the middle of the school year. I said, where do you go at 6 in the morning? He looked at me and said, Gary, he says, there's a room down the way in this hall. We lived on halls, you know, and I was at the third floor. And he says, there's a room down the hall, and it's got nothing but furniture in it. Nobody lives in it. And you can go down. It's called the prayer room. You go down and get your Bible, and you can start reading it, and you pray. He looked at me and said, Gary, that's the first thing you need to do to walk with God after you get saved. You need to start walking with God daily, first thing in the morning, not just Sunday, not just Wednesday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every morning of the world, 24/7, you get up and you get along with God and you let God speak to you from His Word and you talk to Him in prayer. And that's how you start. But it doesn't stop there, you know? It's all day long. It starts a.m. and it goes all day long, p.m. You're walking with God all day long. Do you know the Bible tells us how we can do that all day long? You say, preacher, you mean to walk with God, I got to read my Bible? I got to go to work. You know, I got to do stuff around. I got to do the laundry. You know, how do you walk with God all day long? Here's how you do it. Malachi 3:16, the Bible says there's a book of remembrance that God has written. And the book of remembrance, it's got a lot of books. God's got a lot of books. He's got a book on every thought, every deed of your life. And he's got what he calls the book of remembrance. And the book of remembrance contains two things. It contains every thought you ever have about the Lord. See, walking with God is thinking about Him. Now, you can go to work and think about Him. You can drive down the road and be thinking about Him. You can do the laundry and be thinking about Him. But you know, many Christians, they don't bring the Lord into their thought life. How much was written in the book of remembrance this past week? Thoughts that you had about the Lord. Thoughts about what He's done for you. Thoughts about His character, His person. And you just thought about the Lord. Oh, God likes to be thought about. You know, wives like to have their husbands think about Him. Amen. Sure they do. Husbands like their wives to think about them. Sure they do. Oh, I tell you something. Listen, the Bible tells us that we are what we are, what we think about. That's what we really are. What you are is not what you say. It's what you think about. See, God knows you by what you think. Does God know you very well? Do you think about Him? Do you bring Him into your life? See, walking with God is something that we need to do 24/7, and we can do it. You know, it starts out with getting alone with God and our Bible and reading, but then it goes all day long and we're thinking about Him. How many thoughts have you had about the Lord this week? Have you been thinking about Him? Or are you just filled with thoughts about self and thoughts about the world and thoughts about, you know? we can get back to think about the Lord. And then that book of remembrance also, Lord, records what we say about Him. What we say about Him. See, you walk with God when you talk about Him to others. You talk about Him to your wife, to your husband, to your friends, to your neighbors. You talk about the Lord, even the lost people. You know, you can talk to somebody who's not saved, maybe you're trying to win them, and go up and say, hey, I want to show you something I found, saw in the Bible here today. I'd just like to show, can I show it to you? And so you talk to your unsaved friend about the Lord, say. I tell you what, that bulletin boy, because they think religion is only something you do Sunday morning. But see, walking with God is something you're doing 24. You're talking about the Lord. Have you talked to your children about the Lord, Dad? Are you talking to your kids and showing kids, this is what I saw today. I want to show you something. Are you talking about the Lord to your wife, to your husband? Are you talking about the Lord, what He's been doing in your life, how precious He is? You know, we live in a country that's gotten so far from God, we think being spiritual is not being spiritual. That's what we think today. Oh, you're being pious. You talk about the Lord. No, that's being walking with God. See? Oh, we need to get back to. I was in a church and the pastor said, we need revival, Brother Gilmore. I said, oh man, I hear pastors say that so many times. I said, what makes you think you need revival? He says, well, he said, there used to be a time when we'd come to church and we were just brand new church and we were just starting out and we didn't have much facilities and all that kind of thing. But you know, we'd come to church and you know what we talk about how good God is. We talk about how great it is to be saved. We talk about who we're witnessing to. We talk about the Lord. He said, now we come to church, we talk about sports, we talk about the weather. I'm through with sports, by the way. I'm just done. I like sports. I mean, but I'm done with pro sports, especially basketball, football. I'm done. I'm sorry. You know, I'm not trying to be mean to you or anything like that, but I can't stand the way that they're disrespecting our country and all these guys. Just don't want anything to do with the old things of traditional things that we used to do, singing the anthem, all this kind of stuff. You know, I'm just done with it. But anyway, you know, he said we need revival because we're not talking about the Lord when we come to church. We're talking about all that's going on in the world. Folks, we need to get to walk with God. Start talking about Him again. Talking about Him to our wife, our kids, our children, our grandchildren. Oh, are you walking with God? You know, one time there was a preacher who had the power of God in him. And people say that they'd shake hands with him and they'd just come under conviction. I mean, the power of God was so powerful in that guy's life. And these preachers were wondering what it was that caused this man to have such power in his ministry. And they said, they were talking because he wasn't there. He missed this preacher. This is a preacher's meeting and he wasn't there. So they're talking about it. And he's not there, this guy that has this wonderful power of God in his life. And they said, boy, I bet you he must spend a lot of time in prayer before he goes to sleep. I bet he. And so one said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to slip into his bedroom and I'm going to get underneath the bed. And I'm just going to wait for him to come home. And so I'm going to find out how much time he spends in prayer. He must spend a lot. And so he gets underneath that bed. Finally, the guy comes home. He opens up, comes in, and, you know, he gets ready for bed, and he blows out the candle and gets in bed. No prayer at all. There's no prayer going on at all. Finally, the preacher says, well, Jesus, I talked to you all day long today, and I'll see you in the morning. You see, he walked with God. It wasn't just something he did at the end of the day. He walked with God all day long. Are you in the relationship of being someone who can walk with God, but you don't? Fill with self. All you can think about yourself. Others, forget them. It's me that matters. You are, you know, got walls between you and the Lord, some sin you're sitting on. You know, you're not right with somebody. Or you just don't daily walk with Him. It's just something you do on Sunday, maybe Wednesday night. But all the rest of the time, you are wrapped up in yourself and things of the world. And you're not thinking about the Lord. And you're not talking about Him. Oh, folks, what we need in America is some people who can walk with God, who will do it. Who will do it daily, walk with God. The third relationship you can have to walk with God is a relationship of being someone who has walked with God. You know, in the Bible records many people who walked with God, all different kinds of people who walked with God. And you know, they did things and they accomplished wonderful things and God used them a great way. And you know why? That they were so used of God, these men, people in the Bible, ladies and men in the Bible, why they were so greatly used of God. It wasn't because they were so talented. It wasn't because they had much money they were just super personality people. No, the reason why they did what they did and the reason why they were who they were was because of one reason. They walked with God. That's why. You look at Enoch. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and he pleased God. He had this testimony, he pleased God. Would you like to have that testimony, you please God? You know, it's easy to please God. You know why it's easy to please God? Because he never changes. It's not easy to please people. You know why? They're always changing. They're always changing. But when you live to please God, you'll always please him. He never changes. I tell you what, I'm glad I'm not living to please people because you can never do it. You can never do it. But when you live to please God, you can always do it because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. See? Enoch had that testimony that he walked with God. He pleased God. Why? Why did he please God? He walked with God. He walked with God. Then there was a guy by the name of Noah. Noah walked with God. The Bible says he was a just man and perfect in generations. He walked with God. That's why he was a just man, perfect in generations. What's that mean when he says he was a just man? It means that because he walked with God, he wanted to be right with God. See, when you walk with God, the priority of your life is to keep sin out. The priority is to keep the channel open. And therefore, the moment a sin comes to your life, a thought, you deal with it. You know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon is a great preacher. And you know why Charles Haddon Spurgeon is a great preacher? He walked with God. Say, you can be a great Christian, just walk with God. See, you can be a great preacher, just walk with God. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, you know, he was walking down the road one day, he was across the street. A lady saw him stand right in the middle of the street, horses and buggies going up and down, and he takes his hat off, and the lady says, boy, that looks like Dr. Spurgeon. I wonder who that is. And, you know, looks like he's praying out there. That's kind of dangerous to be praying out there with all the... You know, and so she waits. Finally, Charles Haddon Spurgeon comes across the street, and she says, yes, it is Pastor Spurgeon. And so he goes up and says, Pastor Spurgeon, will you please forgive me, but I'm inquisitive. Were you praying out there in the middle of the street when you took your hat off? He said, yes, I was. He said, well, Dr. Spurgeon, you could have got run over by one of those horses and buggies and could have got injured and maimed for life. Why didn't you wait till you got across the street and prayed? And Charles Spurgeon said, well, I guess I could have done that, but... He said, there was a cloud that came between me and my God. I couldn't take one step further till I got the cloud out of the way. See, what made Charles Haddon Spurgeon the great preacher? He walked with God. See, that's how you will be the Christian you ought to be, Dad. Walking with God. That's how you'll be the mother you ought to be. Walk with God. That's how you'll be the son, the daughter you ought to be. The church member you ought to be. Walk with God. See, that's how it takes place. Bible says he was perfect in all his generation. Now, what's that mean, Noah? Perfect doesn't mean that he never sinned. We know he did. There's record of it. We know he did sin. He was not perfect. Nobody is perfect who walks with God. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. There's only one person ever walked this world who is perfect. That's Jesus Christ. But you know, dear friend, Noah was a man who was complete. The word perfect means whole. It means complete. In other words, he wasn't one thing at home and another thing at work. He wasn't one thing at church and another thing at his house. He was perfect in generations. It means he had a total, complete walk with God. Wherever he was walking with God. How about you, Dad? How about you, Mom? Are you walking with God when you're home? Are you walking with God when you're in the car? What kind of music? Are you walking with God wherever you are? No matter who you're with, you're walking with God. And if they don't want to walk with God, then you're not going to walk with them. You're walking with God. Is that true of you tonight? Are you walking with him? He was perfect. He was whole. You know, people say they like to have a complete ball player. You know, some ball players, they can throw a ball, but they're not good hitters. They're not good fielders. A complete ball player is one who can throw the ball, he can hit it, and he can field it. You know what, as a Christian, are you complete? Are you whole? Or are you one thing here and another thing out there in the car? And have roast preachers, you go home, that preacher preached too long, preached too loud, and I can't take that. You know something? You're not walking with God. You're not walking with God. Noah walked with God. Oh, you go through the Bible. You go through the Bible, you find Job. How did Job go through what he went through? I mean, losing everything he had. In one day, all of his family dead. All of his possessions gone. Everything burned up. How in the world did Job go through that? How did he go through it? This is what the Bible says about this. Job chapter 1, verse number 20. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and worshiped God. He worshiped the Lord. When all that took place, you'd think he wouldn't want to worship the Lord. He'd say, Lord, here I am living for you. And Job was living for the Lord. I'm bailing out on you, Lord. You have let me go through all this. And he goes on to say, the Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you know why he did that? One reason, he walked with God. And if you're walking with God, my friend, you'll be able to handle situations like that. But when you're not walking with God, you'll come to pieces. You'll get bitter. You'll get out of sorts. You'll get backslidden. I'm going to just bail out. I'm not going to church anymore. I'm not going to serve God anymore. Why, look, and I've been serving the Lord. Look what happened. When you're walking with God, folks, you can go through difficult times. You go through the Bible. Oh, there's so many other. Esther walked with God. Just one lady walked with God, saved the whole nation from Haman and all his wicked plans. David walked with God. Here's old Saul. He's not walking with God. He's scared to death. He's cowering over there in the corner. And David, a little boy, walked with God, goes out against that 9'2" Goliath, and he slays that Goliath. Why? Because he walked with God. That's why. Everybody in the Bible that God used was because of one reason. They walked with God. Job, Noah got right with God. And sin got in his life. He got right. See, people that walk with God aren't perfect. They have to get right with God at times. There are times when they slip and they fall. They get in the flesh, and they got to repent, get right with God. That's people who walk with God. People that aren't walking with God, they never, ever come down the aisle about some decision of repentance. Or they never have to go to the Lord and say, I'm sorry. Or they never turn to their wife and say, honey, I've not been with. Or their husband, they never do that. But people that are walking with God, they deal with sin when it gets there. And they make sure their relationship with everybody on God's green earth, that there's no wall between them and that person. Are you walking with God tonight? There's another relationship with walking with God you can have, and that's the relationship of walking with God now. Are you walking with God? Some of you are walking with God now. Praise the Lord. You know, are you walking with God now? Do you know that when you walk with God now, there are some wonderful things? You will be doing what God wants you to do above all else. In Micah 6:8, the Bible says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee? To love mercy, to do justly, and watch it to walk humbly with thy God. See, when you're in a person relationship with the Lord and you're walking with God, you know what? The Bible says, you're able to have mercy on people. You can forgive. You can forgive people who wronged you. When you're one with God, you can do what's right to do. What's the right thing to do. Not what's popular. Not what will make me look good in people's eyes. but what's right to do before the Lord. Say, and that is what God wants above all else. He wants you to love doing right. And he wants you to love being merciful to people. And even to yourself. You know, you have to forgive yourself. A lot of people, they just beat themselves over the head. You need to, when you don't forgive yourself, you're putting yourself ahead of God. You're making yourself bigger than God. God forgave you. But you won't forgive yourself. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. You're putting yourself ahead of God. Oh, listen, when you walk with God, you can be humble. You can humbly walk with God. God wants you to just humbly walk with him. Get right when you have to get right. Do what's right. Be merciful. Forgive people. That's what walking with God is all about. You know, when you're walking with God now, you know it's easy to come to church. It's easy to sit through an hour preaching. Amen. When you're walking with God. But when you're not walking with God, you know, you got this. You're looking. My wife saw that a man had two watches on. He came to church. And, you know, he's looking at this watch, you look at that watch. You know, when you're walking with God, it's easy to go to church. Man, you got those wonderful pews to sit in. Almost too wonderful. You know, when you're walking with God, it's easy to come. When you're walking with God, it's not weary to go to Sunday school. Not weary to be a Sunday school teacher. It's not weary to go bus calling. It's not weary to go soul winning. You don't get weary when you walk with God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Got so many weakling Christians. I mean, they can't even come to church Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I'm tired, preacher. Are you walking with God? The Bible says, when you walk with God, he renews your strength. You know, we used to have week-long meetings, Sunday to Sunday. Now used to be Sunday through Friday. Now it's Sunday to Wednesday. I'm not attacking the church here and now. I'm saying that pastors not walk with God. But, you know, I'm just saying this. That we just don't have the strength. There's something missing from our walk. And that's a walk with God. We're a walk with ourselves. We're a walk with the world. Oh, dear friend, when you're walking with God, you can say no to things you should say no to. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, I'm not going to bow down to that image. They said no. They walked with God. You know, it was Moses who said, you know, I am not going to live for the possessions of Egypt. He could have been the next ruler. He could have had everything you could imagine at his feet. But he said, no, I'm going to associate with the people of God who were slaves at that time. See, he was able to say no. You know why Moses could say that? He was walking with God. When you're walking with God, you have some no's in your life. You're saying no to some things. You're saying no to that friend. You're saying no to some TV program. You're saying no to the way the world wants you to dress. You're saying no to those things. You can say no when you're walking with God. But when you're not walking with God, I mean, tell you, it's hard to say no. When you're walking with God, you can say yes to things. I think of Abraham when God came to him and said, Abraham, I want you to have a great big garage sale. I'm not going to tell you where I'm going to send you. I want you to sell everything you got, say goodbye to all your relatives, and I want you to get out here on the trail, and after you've sold everything you got, and you said no to all your relatives, I'll tell you where I want you to go. Now, would you have the faith to do what Noah did, or Abraham did, and just go out there and have that big garage sale? Or would you say, now, wait a minute, Lord, you're being a little radical here. Where did Abraham get the faith to do that? He did it. Walk with God. That's how you increase your faith. Your faith gets bigger. When you're in a walk with God, it gets skittier, gets a little pygmyish, smaller. And you don't have much faith at all. Say, are you walking with God? The last relationship with God you can have tonight is a relationship of realizing that it's time to walk with God more. Realizing, see, that it's time to walk with God more. Why is it time to walk with God more? You know why? Because, number one, Jesus is coming.
Enoch, he realized time was short. You know, he realized the Lord was coming. Time to walk with God more, folks. Jesus is about ready to come. It's time to walk with God more. Why? Because Noah or Enoch knew that judgment was coming around the corner. Now, we were saved and started to walk with God. Praise God. We don't have the judgment of sin ever to take place. Jesus took care of our sin at the cross of Calvary. We'll never know the great white throne judgment. But you and I are saved. We have the judgment seat of Christ coming. We're going to give an account of our lives, what we did with our time and talent and treasure. The judgment seat of Christ. I was always challenged by that poem. When I stand at the judgment seat of Christ and see his plan for me, the plan of my life as it might have been had he had his way with me. And I see how I checked him here and I blocked him there and I would not yield my will. Will there be grief in my Savior's eyes? Grief, though he loves me still. He will have me rich, but I'll stand there poor, stripped of all but his grace, while memory runs out like a hundred things down paths that I cannot retrace. Then he goes on to say, then my poor desolate heart will well nigh break with tears I cannot shed. I will cover my face with my empty hands. I will bow my uncrowned head. And then the poet goes on to say, in the light of the judgment seat of Christ, oh Lord, of the years that are left to me, I give them into thy hand. Make me, break me, mold me to the pattern thou hast planned. Child of God, the judgment seat of Christ happens right after the rapture. And we'll stand and give an account of our life. It's time to realize that you and I need to walk with God more. And you know why we need to walk with God? Another reason why Enoch realized he needed to walk with God more than ever. He had a little boy named Methuselah. A little boy named Methuselah. I'll never forget when our first son was born. 1967, my son Mark, many of you know him. I was in Holland, Iowa, starting my ministry. And, you know, my wife was expecting, and boy, I was scared to death. What's this going to be like, you know? And I'll tell you something. Finally, my wife came and said, honey, I think it's time. I said, what time for what? Dinner? No, it's time. I'm about ready to, I believe that our baby's coming. I said, oh, man, let's get down to the hospital quick. Man, we drove down there as fast as we could drive. I got in there. I opened the car door for my wife. I opened the hospital door for my wife. I opened every door there was to open. She said, we had more children. You open the door more. And I'll tell you something. I remember getting out of the hospital. Back in those days, you know, they didn't let you come in and be with your wife in the delivery process. I got to do that with Melody. But my three boys, they had this little rectangular room. They'd usher you back there and you'd walk back and forth, you know, and you'd turn around, you wear out the rug and carpet and, you know, you just walk. Oh, I hope everything's going to come out all right, you know, and, you know, you're walking back and forth and all of a sudden, never forget, you know, this nurse comes in and says, Reverend Gilmore, Reverend, you know, that's what they, you know, Reverend, and said, Reverend Gilmore, I got some good news for you. You are the proud father of a baby boy. I tell you what, she said, would you like to see him? Ma'am, I've been waiting 9 months. I sure would. I never forget going down that little window. They had a little window, you know, had a curtain, you know, had some trumpets, you know, played. No, that wasn't in there. But they had this rectangle window curtain, and they pulled back the curtain. I'd be standing there, have my nose right against the window. And all of a sudden, here comes this nurse up with Mark in her hands. And I looked at that baby, and I thought, I knew that was my son. You know why? He was so good looking. That's why. And I looked at that little boy, and I tell you something, I was a daddy. I didn't forget driving home. Back in that day, the mother got to stay there a whole week. I had to go back home, do all the dishes and do the laundry, try to cook and keep myself alive. Now, they bring them home the next couple hours after they deliver them. You know, back in that day, my wife had a vacation there. I'm home just trying to stay alive. And then finally, they said, you can come get your wife. So I never forget going down there. I had a white 65 Chevrolet Impala. And I came down there and I got my wife, you know, and she said, would you like to carry him? I said, honey, you better carry him. I'm scared to death. I might break him in two, you know. And so I opened all the doors. I was good at that. Opened the doors. I opened every door. I opened every door. And finally, you know, we got her in the car, closed the door. And I started the car up. I had to look very carefully to see if anybody's coming. I was there about 15 minutes doing that. And finally, nobody was coming. And I walked down a little bit further to stop sign. I came to a complete stop. It wasn't a running stop, you know. It was a complete stop. And I looked this way and I looked that way and I looked this way and I looked that way. And, and finally, you know, I didn't see a car at all. And if I saw a car, I wasn't going to pull out. And finally, there was no car. And I pulled out there and I went home and got into the house, our parsonage there. And, you know, when my wife and I got married, we didn't have hardly anything. I mean, we had everything we owned, the back end of a pickup truck when we came down to Hallelujah. It wasn't much. And we didn't have any furniture. And so people in the church were very compassionate. And you know what? They gave us all the furniture they wanted to give the Salvation Army. And so I got this big old couch, you know, it was given to me. And it went like this. You know, I mean, people are sitting that thing for I don't know how long. They got a big old hole there. And so we put a blanket over to hide it. So if any guest comes in, they wouldn't see how, you know, bad our situation was there. And so we put a blanket over it. You know, I forgot about those holes. I forgot about it. And I brought Mark over and he got down. I put him down on that couch. And he went right down with those holes. I said, honey, he's going to smother. Get him out of there. He's going to suffocate. And we finally got him out. And laid him where we could just look at this miracle. And all of a sudden it hit me. I got to walk with God more. More than I've ever walked with him before. Dad, you need to walk with God because you got kids. You know, Noah, he preached. 120 years, no one got saved. But when Noah walked into that ark, his whole family walked right behind him. That's not going to happen. You're not walking with God. Noah, walk with God. Dad, Mom, you need to walk with God. Why? The children that you have, you're influencing them. You're influencing them. Oh, we need to walk with God. We need to realize, folks, that we need, it's time to walk with God more than we've been walking with him. Are you walking with God? I love this song. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. Lord, I pray that you will help us in these days in which we live, in times like these. Oh, Lord, we need to walk with you. The world is after our kids. The devil is having a heyday. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see tonight that those of us who can walk with God, because we have started to walk with God, we need to walk with you more. Lord, give us a greater desire to walk with you, a greater, deeper desire to walk with you, Lord. Every day, all day long, I pray. And if there's anybody in this building who's never started to walk with God, they've never come to Christ, they can't ever walk with God because they're dead in sin. But Jesus can breathe life into them spiritually. And they can start a walk with God that ends up in heaven for all eternity rather than hell. And so, Lord, we pray it in Jesus' name. Work in the invitation time now in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As the PS begins to play her invitation song in times like these, as she begins to play that, I wonder tonight, dear friend, have you ever had a time and place when you've started a walk with God? Has there been a place where you recognize you're a dead sinner? A time when you recognize you couldn't save yourself? That Jesus died for you? That he could save you and forgive you all your sin and give you eternal life and a home in heaven for all eternity? Would you like to start that walk with God tonight? September the 13th, 2020. Would you like to have a time and a place when you start a walk with God? Takes humility. Got to humble yourself. Got to admit you're a sinner. You can't save yourself. You got to come to Jesus. He'll save you. He'll turn no one away. All that come to me, I will no wise cast out, he said. Will you come to him? I wonder, with their heads bowed and their eyes closed, how many say, preacher, I've never started a walk with God, but I want to tonight. Would you remember in the prayer, here's my hand. Would you lift that hand high, hold it, say, preacher, I've never started a walk with God, but I want to start that walk with God tonight. I want to come to Christ and receive him as my Savior. Would you lift that hand for prayer? And but like that, just lift that hand right up in the air, high, hold it there for just a minute. All right. Anybody else? See, a number of kids raise their hands. Praise the Lord for that. Yes, ma'am. Over here on my right. God bless you. Someone else say, preacher, I've never started a walk with God. I want to do that tonight. I really want God's life. I want a new life. A new start in life. That happens when you come and you start a walk with God. It's a brand new life. That ends up so good for all eternity. Anybody else lift that hand and say, preacher, I need to start a walk with God. I want to do it. Pray for me in the prayer. Would you lift that hand quickly? Just lift it up. All right. I wonder how many say, preacher, I'm saved. I know the Lord. I've started a walk with God. But preacher, I realize tonight that I need a greater desire to walk with him. I realize tonight that I need to walk with him more that I've been walking with him. I realize that tonight. God spoke to me about it and pray for me in the prayer. Would you lift that hand? Just lift up high. Amen. All in the building. Just lift up high. Preacher, God spoke in my heart. I need a greater desire to walk with God. I need to walk with him more than I've been walking. Pray for me. Yes, all in the building. Praise God. All right, let's stand, please. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. And as the pianist is playing that great song, in times like these, you need a Savior in times like these. You need the Bible. Would you come? If you're here tonight and you want to start that walk with God, would you slip out from where you're standing right now? You raise that hand, young lady over there. Would you want to start that walk? Just come meet the pastor right here. Just come right and say, pastor, I want to start a walk with God. And he'll have someone take the Bible, show you from the Bible how you can start that walk with God. Would you come? Would you come? Trust Christ. He'll give you life like you've never had it before. Would you come? Start that walk with God tonight. Amen. Maybe you've never started that walk with God. Come and say, pastor, I need to do it. I can't see a time and a place when I've started to walk with God in my life at all. I want to start that walk with God, preacher. Your dad can't start it. Your mom can't start it. Only you can. I can't. I'd love to, but I can't. It's up to you. Just come. Say, I want that walk with God. Lord, I want to start a walk with God. Would you come? Christian, do you need to walk with God more? Jesus is coming. The judgment seat of Christ around the corner. You got children that need a dad to walk with. How about a grandparents? Grandparents, are you walking with God? You know, anyway, anybody else, would you slip out and come? Would you sing that song? Do you know what? 202 in your blue book, I think it is. 202 in the blue book. Let's sing it together, number 202. Just one stanza. I got to hear you sing this because I love it. In times like these, Didn't say, be sure. Be very sure. Are you very sure that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven? Are you very sure if Jesus were to come, you'd go to be with him and wouldn't be left behind? Dear friend, it's time to be very sure. Time to be very sure. If you're not sure, hey, I'm here to talk to you anytime. Pastor, we're your servants. We'd love to help you. Pastor, you come close as God leads you, please.
Amen. Can be very sure. Amen. Trust that God has spoken to your heart, that you'll do something about it if you haven't already, and that tonight, before you pillow your head, you will be very sure, number one, that you're saved, and number two, that you're walking with God. Let's close in prayer. It's great to have some missionaries from Cameroon here tonight. And Seth, good to have you with us, and the Falkers. Would you close us in prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of being here this evening. Thank you for speaking to our hearts through your word. The examples of those who have walked with you and the challenge that we have, how we need to walk with you. Thank you for those who have responded to that tonight. And I pray for you to meet those needs in their hearts and help that, Lord, that there would be some that would be saved this evening. And I pray that you'd help each one of us, that we would know what steps you want us to take in order to walk with you, and help us that we would be walking with you and walking more and more closely with you throughout this week. I pray for your continued blessing on these meetings, that you would give your people boldness and opportunities to witness and invite others, and that you would continue to bring folks out to it. To bless this church this week through these meetings. And I pray these things in